Good to see everybody here this morning. We're glad you're able to make it. You're probably wondering, today is the day. Now, what do we got? Have we got a special announcement or anything like that? I mean, well, we could probably think about something like that, but really, when you think about it, it is the most important day in your life. Now, wait a minute. I remember when I got married, I remember when my children were born, I remember all these things in the past. What do you mean today is the most important day of your life? Well, we're going to look at this from a biblical perspective and realize today is all we really have. All right. See, the time we have is now. We don't have any other time. I mean, the past is gone. That's gone. It's past. And the future is not here yet. So all we have is right now. And most young people do not dwell in the past because they do not have much of a past. And they probably complain about the older ones who do dwell in the past. And so, because of things that happen. See, as we age, we remember things from our past that make us proud. And we might remember the things of which we are ashamed. And both are necessary for our physical and spiritual health, is to realize where we came from and where we are now. And yes, sometimes we rest upon what we did in the past. But that's not healthy either. So as we age, we realize that our bodies do not perform the same as it did in the past. And in our minds, we like to reminisce about our accomplishments. I mean, so we could talk about different things, what we did on the field of sports and what we may have accomplished at work and the awards and trophies we may have won from different times. And so we realize that, but we can't do that anymore. I used to be able to sling a 16-pound bowling ball. Now, if I'm lucky to pick up a 12-pound bowling ball, I can handle that. And Rex knows how that goes. You probably dropped down a few also. But anyway, we realize that. And so perhaps we received an award. And we also realize that what we did very well. And really, as Christians, everything we set our hands to do, we should be doing to the best of our ability. And the writer in Ecclesiastes taught us that. But dwelling in the past may have its place, but spiritually speaking, that is something we are to give up. We're to give up on the past. We may have done a lot. We may have accomplished a lot. But as Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." All right. In Revelation 2, 5, John tells the church at Ephesus, or the angel speaks to the church at Ephesus, says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." Just a few verses earlier, the angel commended Ephesus. "I know your works. You stood against the false teacher. You did lots of good works. And you held to the truth with a great deal of stamina. And you were great at that. But guess what? That was in your past." You know, I can think of a lot of congregations that used to be very strong and powerful and did a lot of teaching, did a lot of evangelism and all sorts of things. But now, that's in the past, and they're not doing that anymore. And the warning is that God will remove the lampstand if we don't get back to where we began. So some things need to be remembered, and yes, some things need to be forgotten. We do not need to forget that we were once sinners, but we do not need to go back and dwell upon those sins with fondness. That's what a lot of people do. They remember, oh, I had so much fun getting out there on Friday night with the buddies and we having a great old time and stuff like that. I mean, we remember those things, and that's nothing to be proud of, folks. Something, the things that you did that you kept from your parents. You didn't want them to know what you were doing. Things like that. And just because you did something good in the past, you cannot rest on that fact alone. I mean, you do one good deed and you think, well, hey, I've done a good deed, so God's going to accept me. No, we cannot rest on that alone. All right, so the point is that what you are doing now is more important than what you did in the past. And you might think, well, I did a lot of great stuff in the past, but you know what? What you do today is going to be a whole lot more important than what you've done in the past. Well, what could be more important than obeying the gospel? You think, you ask that question. Well, let's face it, are you a perfect Christian? No, you're not a perfect Christian. So you need to get yourself renewed all the time. And that's what Paul talked about there in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. The outer man is decaying, the inward man is renewed day by day. And so maybe you did some good things in the past, but are you still doing them? There's another question. I mean, sometimes we get up there, we don't do the things we did before, and our bodies, they don't cooperate anymore, and so it makes it more difficult, and we can't do those things. And so the church at Ephesus is an example we should pay attention to. And so we certainly need to be looking towards the future. We need to be looking towards the future, but don't forget that today is part of that future. It's the beginning of that future. And so there are some who focus upon the future with all sorts of plans. You know, some people, they envision perhaps a big, beautiful house and garden. And they see themselves on extended vacations to exotic places. And all too often, they fail to include God in their plans. I mean, and that's really just an afterthought. Without God in our life and plans, our lives become vanity and striving after the wind. Some people make their plans for vacation. Oh yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to see that. And then all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, we're supposed to go to church somewhere. Where's that going to happen? And it's like God is always an afterthought once we get what we want to do. And that's usually how it turns out. So in James 4, 13 and 15, we have this warning. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. I mean, that's the thing is about people. They make plans and they decide, well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this kind of money. I'm going to accomplish this feat or that feat. But you know what? It's all because God allows it. I mean, that's what it's going to be. This reminds us of our short time on earth in respect to eternity. Eternity is long. So we have to be aware of that. And often people plan their future and ignore God. They don't have God in their future and their plans for their future. And really, as we age, we should be thinking more about God every day, all the time, because we are that much closer to meeting Him face to face. And so for many, God is just an afterthought once the plans are made. And we know that's very true for many people. Now, all we really have is right now or today. I mean, that's why it's important. What we do today does have a bearing on our future. We're setting a course. We're starting out. It's like a journey starts off with that first step. And so today is going to be the rest of our life, the first day of the rest of our life. And are we going to start it out on a bad note or a good note? I mean, that's what we have to determine for ourselves. And so how we live today should prepare us for tomorrow. How we behave today should get us ready to continue good behavior tomorrow. And so that's what we should be doing. A lot of people have a problem on Sundays. They put on their good face, their good attitude, their good demeanor, and once they walk out the church building, then they take that off and go back to their regular routine. And that's not good. I mean, we're supposed to be a Christian all the time. And some people really don't do that. And so they don't prepare to recognize that they have an opportunity to do something for God every day. See, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, quoting Isaiah 49 and verse 8, "For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that is God speaking that. And God's talking about that. He helped the Israelites. He said, when he listened to them and he responded and he took care of them and he provided salvation for his saints. He helped them. And he helps us as well. But now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Do we really realize that? Do we really think about that fact that my future destiny rests upon what I do right now, what I do in the next day, because we don't know when it's going to end. And so this is very true, for now is all we have. We can't be assured that we'll be here next week. We don't know that. And there's a lot of people we read about. You remember I brought up that statistic one time, about 151,000 people die every day in this world. And so if someone decides that they will start serving God tomorrow, it will never happen because they put it off. You know, tomorrow never gets here. It's always coming, but it never gets here. And it's like some restaurants, they have the sign at Joe's Crab Shack. They have a sign that says free crab tomorrow. Yeah. All right. Too many people have the intention of getting right with God someday. Just not today. I mean, that will interfere with my plans. That will interfere with my fun. And that seems to be their only focus, is thinking about themselves. But if we're going to get right with God, we've got to start thinking about God and putting Him in our minds. And this is a tragic mistake when people do that. That's why it's so important to start today getting yourself in a right relationship with God. Maybe you realize, okay, I obeyed the gospel 30, 40 years ago, but I haven't really lived up to my potential. I haven't lived up to what I'm supposed to do. Today would be a good day to start doing those things that God wants me to do and getting in a right relationship. It may be you may have to ask God for forgiveness. And that's the beauty of asking God for forgiveness, because He does forgive us. And that is why today is so important to your soul. See, the Bible tells us we do not know when the end will happen. No man knows. I mean, we have predictions all the time, and every time something happens, people start predicting different things. You know, there's a war going on, and somehow a news media got hold of the word, they put their nuclear arsenal on standby, and oh no, there's going to be nuclear war, they're going to wipe out all mankind. Well, those people haven't read their Bibles, because God is the one who's going to wipe out mankind. They're not going to be able to do it. And so now all of a sudden there's all sorts of prophecies, a lot of prophets saying, and you'll probably hear this if you flip the channels and hit some of these people, yeah, Gog and Magog, Russia, the bear, and all that stuff. I mean, that's going to be going on. And it always has gone on, always will go on. Every generation has their own Antichrist. They talk about the Antichrist is coming. And the Antichrist is already here. It was here in the first century when John wrote about it. And so it's here. The attitude is to turn your back on Jesus makes you an Antichrist. And when you don't do and don't believe in Jesus, it makes you an Antichrist. And so it's here. And we should also realize that time and chance happen to all alike. Notice Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For time and chance overtake them all. I mean, we hear about this. There's a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers the other day. He was out there with his friends. He was struck by a car, 24 years old, and he's dead now. I mean, he had a promising future. He was a great player for Ohio State, and now he's gone. Was he planning on that? I guarantee you he was not. He was planning on having an illustrious career and ending up in the Hall of Fame, and that's what his plans were. I don't know if he had God in his life or not. I would hope that he did, but chances are he wasn't thinking about God. He was thinking about his future. And sometimes that happens. We don't know when the end is going to happen. And we are no more than a breath away from leaving this life. And we know this happens all the time. And let's face it, driving down the road, you're literally a few feet away from sudden death. I mean, I know in Texas we have these country roads. They don't have the divided highways. And you're zipping at 70. They're coming at you at 70. All it takes is someone just to swerve out of the way and boom. You could be dead. I came close to that once. So, anyway, accidents happen all the time, and hardly anyone is prepared to die. And we know that's the case. Most people don't think about it. Most people think they're thinking future plans. They don't realize today could be their last day. But we all will die, unless the Lord returns first, in which we will all be changed from the mortal to the immortal. And so we have to be aware of that. In order to be prepared for the future, we must be right with God today. That's why today is so important. Getting right with God starts today. You can't put it off. You put it off, chances are you're not going to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you need to be right with God today. And waiting is so dangerous for our souls. So don't wait. Get right with God. Start by living for Jesus and serving like he did. He came to serve mankind, and he did a great service, and he set an example for us that we should do as he did, to serve others. In Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, sure, we will lose friends and perhaps family, but are you going to allow them to keep you out of heaven? I mean, some people, yeah, I don't want to lose friends and family, so I'll just give up on heaven. Does that make a lot of sense? Well, for those of us who have obeyed the gospel looking for that reward, it doesn't make sense to us. But for people of the world, I mean, it kind of does make sense to them. They really don't care about heaven. They care about satisfying their own lustful pleasures. And many people would rather hold on to their possessions, their status, their family, than to serve the Christ faithfully. I mean, that's just too much of a burden as far as they're concerned. Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. All right, we know that Christ does not want us to hate anyone. We're supposed to love everyone. But what he's really saying is the point is that Christ has to be first in our lives. And he is the one we should seek to please above all else. You know, today is the day you need to prepare yourself to be a servant of God. Some of you have already done that, and you're still doing it, and we commend you for it. Some of you have kind of slacked off and not done it anymore as you did before. And you need to pick up the pace and start being a servant of God in so many different, there's so many things you can do. All you have to do is look for the opportunity, and you can be a servant of God by teaching others, by helping others and assisting others. And yesterday is gone, we know that, and it's not coming back. We don't get do-overs. You know, in marbles you get do-overs, but in real life you do not get do-overs. And no matter how faithful you were to God, the only place you can get do-overs is in the movies, okay? You know, like Groundhog Day. He got a do-over every day. But no, we don't get that. And so yesterday, you may have been faithful to God yesterday, but what about today? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Start living the new life today. Obey the gospel today if you haven't obeyed it already, and live your life for God, because you don't know when your life is going to end. Determined to awake each day as a new day with new opportunities to serve God and do His will. I mean, if you're blessed enough to wake up, God has allowed you another day for you to do something for Him. You just need to figure out, what can I do for God today? And really, you set a good example for others, you're doing something good for God. You speak to someone about God, you're doing something for God. And if nothing more, you start reading and studying the Bible and learn more about God, that is something that God wants you to do. And so you serve God and you'll do His will. When you stop serving God, He's not going to be happy with that. So now, do you see why today is the most important day of your life? We have the chance to start over. And really, every time we pray to God and say, "Forgive me of my sins," we get to start over. And that's why today is so important. We can't put it off till tomorrow, because it'll never get here, and the past is gone. Consider those thoughts. I mean, it's a very simple lesson, but we need to realize that today is the most important day you will ever have. And we just need to think of it in that way. All right, that's our lesson for this morning. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has to respond, we're going to help you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we can do that. If you need to, basically, if you need to confess your sins and get right with God, we invite you to do that as well. So if you're subject to the invitation call, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.